Welcome to All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm pleased to welcome as my guest, Kay Logan Peters, the author of the book, The University of Nebraska, An Illustrated History, published by Arcadia Publishing as part of their Campus History Series. Kay is a member of the UNL Libraries faculty and their Arts and Architecture Librarian. Kay, it's good to have you here.
Well, thank you. It's fun to be here.
Tell us about this book, The University of Nebraska, An Illustrated History.
Well, this book is a little book with a lot of photos, and it's published by Arcadia Publishing, and they have pretty much the same format, and they have this nice little campus history series, and they just never had had anybody from UNL produce one. Somehow they got my name after making a few calls, because I have done some research in campus history and done some speaking on it, so they found out about me and asked me to do it.
So this book is in paperback format. And
very affordable.
Very affordable. And tell a little bit about the process of choosing the photographs that illustrate the history of the University of Nebraska.
Yeah, really the Arcadia books are photo histories of a particular topic. So in this particular case, I used photos from the University Archives, which of course is part of the University Library System. And I worked with my colleagues in archives to select photos that cover the whole span of university history up to about the turn of the most recent century. It was really fun, but I had to sort through probably 10 or 15,000 photos. It was a lot of photo research. So I spent about it took me about 6 months to write it, and probably 3 months of that was photo research, and the other 3 months was then doing the captions that describe the photos. Some of the photos are the kind of photos you would expect to see in a university history, early photos of the campus that really many people have seen, because there just aren't that many photos of early campus because of, you know, photography in 1870 or 80. But then there are a lot of other photos that very few people have seen except for archive staff. I tried to include as many of those as I could, because they just tell a different story that most people don't know. People that work at UNL know about the founding, and they know about the early chancellors, and but they don't know, for instance, about the class gifts. There were many class gifts at the turn of the century, so I have the pictures of some of the class gifts, like drinking fountains and sundials and things like that. Also, there were different student activities that were popular in the middle of the 20th century and earlier, and some of the photos from those are pretty interesting, and I don't think probably folks have ever seen some of them. So that was kind of how I approached it. Some of the photos I had to use because they tell the story. That's sort of the framework of the university, and then others were sort of add-ons that I thought would just make it more fun to look through and read.
Well, and as we're thumbing through the book, there are clearly, as you note, the pictures just of the university itself, of the buildings, and how the university looked at different time periods. There's also, as you would expect, various pictures of, I assume, primarily members of the faculty and administration. How did you choose the other ones that maybe include other people or activities? From your framework, how did you choose the photos that would illustrate those things well?
Well, I figured out what my chapters would be. And there are chronological chapters that tell the history. But I also kept finding these great photos of students and of events. So I have a chapter on called Pioneering Women that talks about some of the women at early UNL. It was not easy to be a female student in 1885. And it was even more difficult to be a woman faculty member. So I have a chapter on pioneering women, and I group those together. I have a chapter on student activities, rites, rituals, and student fun. I have a chapter on the farm, which is now East Campus, of course.
What did you find most surprising in your own research? I mean, you've researched the history of the university quite extensively previously. What did you come across in your research for this book that was unexpected?
Well, there were a lot of things. I stumbled across photos of events that I didn't know had occurred. I stumbled across photos of people that I didn't know had been to campus. I spent a lot of time in student yearbooks and the old Daily Nebraskans. So I was kind of working at the micro level on some of these events. So there was just, I thought I had a pretty good grip of university on university history. But when you really like get down to the day-to-day level like that, there was all kinds of interesting stuff going on. I spent several, probably a couple of weeks or maybe at least a week working on the events that occurred in May of 1970, which is when student protests and the whole Vietnam War movement was going on. And there were parts of that story that I knew, but there were other parts that I didn't fully understand because I wasn't a student yet. I was, you know, still back in my hometown. But there was a really interesting incident where African-American students formed an association, and they peacefully protested outside the administration building for 3 days in the spring of 1968 or 69. And they had a list of demands that were not radical in today's thinking, but I'm sure then that they were that it was risky for them to do that. And I had never heard heard of that incident or that episode. And by the time I came to college in the 70s, many of their demands were already in place. They wanted a multicultural affairs person. They didn't call it that exactly, but and they wanted more academic offerings, you know, for people of color. And I didn't really ever think about how that had happened, and I'd never run across this this group that was protesting. So I thought that was really interesting. Every once in a while, I'd find a picture and think, good grief, what is going on in this picture? And then I would have to figure out. Some of those took, you know, a month or two to figure out. And when I gave up and quit looking, then I would accidentally stumble across it some other way.
Okay, there is a lot that's included in this book, but I'm sure there was a lot that you had to leave out. Was there anything in particular that broke your heart?
You know, the whole book was an exercise in editing. I wouldn't say it broke my heart, but there were incidents that I knew had occurred, and I couldn't find photos that illustrated those incidents. So that was maybe more of a frustration than a broken heart. You know, at one point, the university had loyalty trials during World War I to make sure that the faculty weren't German sympathizers. And there were faculty who lost their positions over that. And it was not a high point in university history. But there are almost no photos of those proceedings. Robert Knoll has a photo in his book. But it's not a great photo. And you can't really tell what's happening. So I decided to leave that out. And I address it in the text at that particular chapter. But there were a few things like that, incidents that I knew had happened that I just photos didn't exist.
So this is your first book. Do you now expect you'll want to write another?
Oh, boy. This was more work than I thought it would be. It would depend on the project. Really, this is my area of research and expertise. And now that I've done this, I'm not sure that we need another one right away.
How has your own reading life been impacted by the fact that you've authored books?
Oh, my. Well, this is my first book. I'm not sure it has, but I do know that my writing is much better because I'm a reader. People who really struggle with writing tend to never read. So, you know, I think it's a chicken and egg thing a little bit. And the more you read, the better you write and the more interested you become in writing. And
what do you typically read for leisure?
I'm a fiction reader. I fully admit it. I read nonfiction occasionally, like I read J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy. And I read a few things like that, but I'm an escape. I'm an escapism reader. And I read, I'm a Goodreads enrollee.
So you're online.
Yes, I'm online with other readers, and I get the Goodreads newsletter, and I always read the One Book, One Lincoln or One Book, One Nebraska selections. I've gotten through 2.5 of this year's crop. I always have a list.
Oh, okay.
I have a long list on Goodreads, and this is almost embarrassing. I always have a book I'm reading, and I have a book I'm listening to in my car. usually on CD. Mm-hmm. And then I have a downloaded audio book that I carry around the house and listen to when I'm...
So you've got several books
when I'm
going
not
at
driving
a time.
And I'm not actually reading. So I have too many books. Too many books going sometimes.
We're seeing a real rise in popularity of audiobooks, and I have a feeling that there are people like you who have a couple going on in different formats at a time.
Yeah, and sometimes they are things that I'm not sure I could plod through because I am kind of an impatient reader. I can hang on longer with an audiobook if it's something that I just might not commit the time to reading. Mm-hmm. So I find that it's kind of opened my horizons in terms of what I'm interested in reading.
Interesting. Well, Kay, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
Kay Logan Peters has been my guest today on All About Books. Kay is the author of The University of Nebraska, An Illustrated History, published by Arcadia Publishing. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.